This episode is brought to you by Mightier. Mightier is a biofeedback-based video game platform that teaches kids to emotionally self-regulate. This leads to a significant reduction in meltdowns and parental stress. It's backed by science out of Harvard Medical and Boston Children's and has helped over 100,000 kids. For more information, visit theautismdad.com/mightier. That's theautismdad.com/MIGHTIER and use the code theautismdad22 to save 10%. Welcome to the Autism Dad Podcast. I'm Rob Gorski. For the past 7 seasons, this podcast has provided parents with education, community, resources, and validation. This season, you'll hear from parents just like you, as well as my own kids, who will offer their unique perspectives on what it's like for them to navigate the world as young autistic people. You can subscribe on any one of your favorite podcast listening apps, and for more information, to be a guest or a sponsor, please visit theautismdad.link. Welcome back, folks. My name is Rob Gorski, and this is the Autism Dad Podcast. I've got a fantastic episode for you guys today. I recently sat down with Kim Houck. She is the director for the Ohio Department of Developmental Disabilities. And we have a conversation about what the Ohio Department of DD does, like at a state level, how they oversee the local county boards of DD. We talk about adult transitional things, like as our kids age out of the high school services and stuff like that and age into adulthood. And she also helps people who are not living in the state of Ohio connect with resources in the state with which they live in. So I really appreciate you guys, and I hope you enjoy the interview. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. I really appreciate it. Could you take a second and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Hi, sure. My name is Kim Houck, and I am the director at the Ohio Department of Developmental Disabilities. Mm-hmm. So I've been here at the department for about 10 years now. Before that, I worked out in the field. I started in the late 80s. I started as a direct support professional.
Oh, wow.
And at an intermediate care facility down in the Cincinnati area. Went to college and became a special ed teacher. So when I graduated, started teaching and worked down in Hamilton County at their Board of Developmental Disabilities for about 22 years. And then came up here to the state. So came as the chief policy officer and then, you know, some other things, helped transition our early intervention services from the Department of Health over here. And then I've been the director for 2 years.
How do you like it?
I love it. I really love it. I love what I get to do every day. I love meeting with different people, talking to people with disabilities, talking to their families, working with the local providers and county boards. It's been a great experience.
So you started out like in the trenches. Like
I did.
That's so cool. I love that kind of story because you have insights into what parents and people are dealing with, you know, every day, and then how, you know, the department can be there to better meet their needs and support what they're doing. That's very cool.
Absolutely.
So what exactly, let me ask it like this. So, you know, people listening will be all over the country. Well, it's all over the world, but we're just going to focus on what the Ohio Department of Developmental Disabilities does, because that's what we're here to do. What exactly does the Ohio Department of Developmental Disabilities do?
Yeah, so, you know, something that's a lot of people don't know and that's exciting is we are a cabinet agency, which means I report directly to Governor DeWine. Mm-hmm. And there are very few states that have that opportunity. So, you know, I get the experience of meeting with him, making sure that he understands the issues and what's going on across Ohio in the disability world. But here at the department, we serve as a resource and a support for our local counties. And we do serve as the regulator also of providers and of our county boards.
All right. So you guys are as parents, we interact typically with the local board of DD.
That's right.
And so you guys are in charge of all of the county boards of DD in the state of Ohio.
Yeah, we oversee their Medicaid expenditures, you know, that sort of thing, the services that they provide with their federal and state dollars. So every local county also has locally funded services, and they can decide how they spend those or what kind of services they provide with those funds. But we're responsible to ensure that there is, state accessibility to those funds.
Okay. So what, for the people out there, and it's surprising how many people I've connected with who don't know what the Board of DD does or what role it fills. And my oldest is working with the Stark County Board of DD currently. He's 24, transitioning into his adult life. We went through OOD. He's got his first job, learned that he's going to be moving out here maybe by the time people actually hear this. And the Board of DD played a huge, huge support role in that. Can you help parents understand what role the Board of DD plays in the life of families and people living with disabilities?
Absolutely. So in Ohio, we have 88 counties, which I think is interesting for, not everybody knows that. And each county has a county board of developmental disabilities. And they first determine eligibility of people with disabilities. Are they eligible for services? They assign everyone what we call a service and support administrator, or an SSA, and that's like a case manager, to help families navigate the system. And the system is complex. There's a lot of, waivers and services, supports, those sorts of things that can get really confusing in our system. So the county boards help families navigate and walk through all of those processes.
So I mentioned that my oldest, we got connected with the Board of DD, so I don't know, about a little over a year ago, I think, year and a half ago, maybe. And, he applied and was approved for the waiver program, which helps to cover his transportation back and forth to work. Mm-hmm. And it'll help to cover transportation once he moves out and he's living kind of his independent life. His idea of independence for him that makes him happy is living in a group home. He wants to live with friends and order DoorDash and have movie nights and whatever. So more power to him. He'll do it.
That's fantastic.
It's such a cool thing because he's one of those kids that no one ever thought he would be where he is today. And there were too many problems when he was younger. He was, we're going to have to look at residential placement, all of this stuff. And now I'm so proud of him. He's doing so well. And, I've been lucky enough to be able to utilize a lot of the services that are provided in the area, but even as connected as I am, I'm still learning about things that I had no idea existed. And we connected with the board much later in his life. So he was 22 going on 23, which is pretty late, I think, to get connected. But what age should parents reach out to the board of DD in their area and, connect on that level?
Yeah, absolutely. The earlier, the better. So all 88 of our county boards offer something called early intervention, which is birth until your third birthday. And so, a lot of times we might not know that our child needs those extra services when they're first born or, as an infant or a toddler. But we try really hard to get engaged with families very early in their life and in their journey. So, we have lots of different programs for youth, different services. We connect with schools across the state and do transition planning. So, again, the earlier, the better.
So is there an age, is there a cutoff for when someone is eligible to work with the Board of DD and then when they do they ever age out?
So you don't age, once you're eligible, you don't age out. It is a birth until death, mm-hmm. Kind of service and support. You do have to show signs of a disability before your 21st birthday to be eligible. So, people who might be in a car accident later in life, those sorts of things aren't typically found eligible at our county boards.
Okay. So what types of things for the average family, say like my kids are autistic and we have ADHD, and you know, my oldest has childhood disintegrative disorder. And so he developed, typically he was very advanced until about four and a half, and then just massive regression. And so he never, like, we never quite fit in like any like common category. You know what I mean? Like, we were always kind of in this gray area where finding support was very challenging. What types of things can the board of DD provide for families, you know, with younger kids, maybe for early intervention? And then maybe we can follow up with that about, you know, that transition into adulthood.
Sure. So early intervention is a federal program. So they follow those, you know, federal kinds of supports and services. So developmental specialists who come into your home and work with your family, work with you, your child, your family, speech therapists, occupational therapists, physical therapists, you know, all of those sorts of supports, mental health providers, counselors, that sort of thing. You know, all of those services are available to families in early intervention, depending on your needs and your child's needs, right? And then, you know, as you get older, counties offer things like respite services. A lot of times they'll have programs where parents could maybe drop their kids off for just an evening a month or something like that, or respite in your home if that's what you need. We right now are working with county boards on a huge accessibility program. So we've given counties funding through some grants that we had available to really look at their communities and adult changing tables and those sorts of things. So county boards really just look at the full age span and the needs of children and families, again, no matter their age, and what are the services and supports that families need. And I think counties, especially with those locally funded services, take different approaches.
Yeah, because it's with there being so many, right? And you know, each county having their own, there's a lot of nuance that goes on between county to county. But then overall, it's sort of the same program, just sort of catered to the needs of people in that specific community. Is that? This episode is brought to you by Goalie. Did you know the University of Michigan did a study that found over 80% of apps for kids are designed to lure them into longer gameplay and more in-app purchases? Goalie decided it was time for this to end. Unlike the Kindle and iPad that have endless ads and potentially dangerous content, Goalie is a tablet with only apps that build independent kids. It has no web browser, no social media, and no ads, ever. It has award-winning learning apps like Khan Academy, Duolingo ABC, and Starfall, and the best part? It's completely parent-controlled. In my house, we use Goalie's kids calendar to teach my son how to stay on task. He learns life skills like how to make a sandwich by watching one of the hundreds of video classes and can practice it by following along with one of the 50 pre-made routines. As a dad, there's no better feeling than knowing that my son is becoming more independent every day. For more information and to try Goalie risk-free for 30 days, visit getgoalie.com. That's GETGOALLY.com and use the code theautismdad to save 10%.
Right. So you talked about your son having access to a waiver. Mm-hmm. Every county offers three different waivers, the self, you know, so there's three, you know, they're just a little bit different and nuanced. But every county offers those, and those services are concrete, defined in rules, those sorts of things. So like homemaker personal care, we call it HPC, you know, that's going to look pretty much the same from county to county. It's those other services outside of the waiver that could look different.
And I've been seeing a lot of, there's been a lot of movement in the area of like accessible playgrounds for kids. We've been seeing, there's one that popped up in North Canton. There's one that popped up in Stowe. Is that sort of driven by this program?
So with the grant money that we just gave out, communities could, or counties could ask for those funds to be used for a variety of things, accessible playgrounds, accessible fairgrounds, or, you know, places where a lot of festivals might happen, or if they have a big downtown area, maybe they need curb cuts and ramps and those sorts of things. And then again, we made a really large investment in universal changing tables. There are two moms, Kim and Jennifer, who did a lot of work in that area. And so we were really happy to support them through the budget process and get some dedicated funding for that specific project.
Yeah, there was a movement. I can't remember the name of the organization now that they started.
Changing Spaces, I think.
Yes, they were on a podcast a couple of years ago. And talking about the importance of adult changing tables. And it's not something that most people would ever think about, but it makes a huge difference in the lives of families who need to utilize that. I've been seeing them pop up in restrooms locally. And I always makes me think of that, the conversation I have with them, because that's so cool that we are moving in the right direction on that stuff. Just sort of because you've been kind of involved in this field for a long time, what are some of the positive changes that you think that you've noticed from the time that you were, you know, working as like a support personnel to where you are today? We've made a lot of progress, but I think sometimes we're not always aware of that progress, because like maybe parents are just kind of jumping in now because they have a kid that's diagnosed with something now and they don't realize how much better it's actually gotten. If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've made a ton of progress over the past 30 some years. I think even having these conversations about accessible restrooms, and you know, we weren't having those kinds of conversations back then. Having the opportunity to really live, work, play, go to church, you know, all those kinds of things in your community, we were much more focused on. Not that we aren't focused on safety now, but I think we weren't giving people the opportunity to live to their full potential, to really take those risks that we all take every day. And so I that's really exciting to see. I think here at the department, we've made a big effort to really listen to the voices of people with disabilities themselves. Really hear what's important to them, what they want to do with their future. And so I think that's been really exciting.
Are there things that you would like to see as we move forward, like improvements or things that you're aware of that need to be addressed, but maybe we haven't gotten there yet, if that makes sense?
Sure. I think we've made a lot of progress in Ohio around our employment first efforts. So people working in the community, having, good paying jobs. I think there's still a lot of people who have some really high intensive needs, and, you know, working in the community might not be their first choice. And so ensuring that we really have good options and programming for them, again, for what they want to do, where they want to be engaged during the day after high school, making sure that we have lots of options for them, I think is really important, and something that we have on our, in our sights and trying to work hard on.
Because my oldest, like I mentioned before, I'm very proud of him, so I'm going to talk about him one more time. He went through he went through OOD. Did his job training, had a job coach, and was, recommended for community employment, like a regular job. And he does so well. Like it's so cool to see the look on his face when he puts on his little, like his name tag and his, you know, his uniform, and he's packing his lunch and getting ready to go to work. Like these are all things that as a parent, like I cannot stress enough how amazing it feels. And, you know, I always try to kind of instill hope in parents, because I think a lot of times when our kids are diagnosed, just with autism specifically, because that's my experience, we get diagnosed, our kids get diagnosed, we get a piece of paper and we're kind of ushered out the door. And that's largely it. That's what parents feel like that overall experience has been. And in those moments, like, we feel like what we're experiencing right now, like where our kids are right now, is where they're always going to be. And so this is just it. And that's not always the case. because it's like a snapshot in time. It's where they are in the moment so that we can identify the need and match it with a service, right? And resources. And where they're going to be 5, 10, 15 years from now is not representative of where they are currently, right? Everybody starts somewhere. And I've become very aware of that as my oldest has transitioned into his, you know, his own independent life, because I just never thought it would be possible. And I know there's a lot of parents out there who feel the same way. And if you're listening, I just want to make clear that our kids can do amazing things, you know, and utilizing the support that is available, you know, that the state provides or the county provides, there's no shame in that. You know, I hear a lot of parents feel like, well, my kid won't qualify, or he's not eligible because it's only this or it's only that, or, you know, whatever. So I guess one of the last things that I wanted to ask you was, for the parents out there who feel like their child wouldn't qualify, or they feel like they shouldn't be utilizing government services or whatever, because there's a lot of stigma, I think, that still floats around. Right. What would you say to them?
You know, I think we all have potential, right? All of our kids have potential, and that's all we want, is we want to see our kids live up to that and do, you know, the best that they can. I think that, you know, these services are here, you know, just for this, for your kids, for our future, right? And it's just here to help. And I think, you know, it never hurts to try, you know, to go through the eligibility process. And if you're not eligible, the counties will help connect you to other services that maybe you are eligible mm-hmm. for. And if you are, then that opens, you know, a world of services and supports that your kid can use. And, you know, thinking about their future as adults, you know, maybe when parents aren't able to be with the child every day or all the time, you know, you're just setting them up for a future of people who will care about them and support them and be there for them.
Very cool. Yeah, that's very much on my mind a lot lately. Because I wish that I had connected much earlier than what I did, because my youngest is 15 going on 16, and then my oldest is 24, and then I have a 17-year-old who turns 18 next week. And so there's
busy guy.
Yeah. It's a whole thing, but like they're doing amazing, and I'm so proud of them. And I guess I just, you know, the message that I want to come from this is that. And I realize not everybody who's listening is in Ohio, but every state has something, you know. And so let me ask you this, and then we'll close things out. For people who are not living in Ohio, that need help or support, where would be a good place for them to start to find resources that are local to them, regardless of what state they happen to be listening to this in?
Yeah, so every state has a disability oversight agency. There is a website, it's NASDES, and I can get you, you know, that information. Mm-hmm. If you go on that website, every state director is listed along with their email address, their phone number, that sort of thing. And so you could reach out to your state lead for information. And if not them personally, then that would at least give you the agency for which they work. So you could reach out to them.
Okay. Yeah. Cause there's like, as much as I try to focus locally on some things in Ohio, there's overlap and relevance to everyone inside of the United States. Cause there's a lot of similarities state to state. There's nuances that are different. There's policies that are different, but there is help. And, you know, I'll have that link in the show notes and in the podcast and stuff like that, so that people can go check it out. And it's a place to start if nothing else. And there are local boards of DDs like everywhere. They're everywhere. So, you know, check it out. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Absolutely. That's what you guys are there for. Do you have any parting advice or anything that you would want parents or people living with disabilities to, you know, be aware of as far as what you guys do?
I think you said it well. I think, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help and, you know, reach out to the department. We really do want to hear from people living with disabilities. We want to hear what your life is like and how we can help make it better, what we need to do. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And what is the easiest way for people to connect with you guys?
We have on our website, so dodd.ohio.gov, there's a contact us button right at the bottom. You can always reach us that way, or I'm sure there are email addresses throughout the website as well.
And I see you guys on social media too. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And thank you for everything that you guys do. You know, I wish I had been more in touch with this stuff when my kids were younger, but I'm very aware of it now. And, you know, I'm hoping that by listening and by having this conversation, people will become more aware of it at an earlier, you know, earlier point and can, you know, utilize those services to help their kids navigate life. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks for having me. And, thanks for all you're doing to raise awareness.
Thank you.
Around the state and the country.
Appreciate it.
It's awesome.
Thank you. Before we go, I just wanted to take a moment and say thank you so much for taking the time to tune in and for all the support you guys have shown me over the last 7 seasons. I am so grateful and appreciative of each and every one of you. If you have found this useful or you just enjoyed listening, if you wouldn't mind taking a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever app you're listening to this on, or share it with your friends or whatever, it's a great way to support the show. Thank you. I really appreciate it. You guys can reach me at theautismdad.link. That's theautismdad.link. And we'll talk soon. Thanks. Bye.